Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN, and we are dancing to disco music. That's at Rebecca Fife's request. Rebecca, welcome back.
Hi, Steve. It's great to be with you.
Okay, so when I saw this story that the Danish mayfly was the insect of the year for 2021, I thought that's kind of weird. Then I started reading about the Danish mayfly, and then you suggested we play disco music at your intro. Why?
Because when mayflies emerge after a year to 3 years in the water, they coalesce into a big hedonistic mass of bodies, kind of like the dance floor at Studio 54. So I thought disco was the right vibe.
So that's how they find their mates, because they only have 3 days, right, to mate and lay eggs.
Yeah, they do. And I don't know if you remember this big news story. It was in 2016 from central Illinois, the town of Havana, which is down in Mason County.
Yeah, it's a river town, I think.
Yeah, exactly. When the mayflies emerged, they were 6 inches deep. They covered a state bridge. They caused all these auto accidents, and it was just this slick mess. And the only person that the emergence of all these mayflies down there were good for, other than the fishermen, is the car wash business, because people's cars got covered in mayflies.
So I've been to northern Michigan with my wife's cousins who do fly fishing, and they talk about the mayfly. You know, and that's the fact they've just got a short period of time to do the fly fishing while the mayflies hatch. Is that what they're talking about?
It is, yeah. And mayflies are an incredibly important indicator species. An indicator species is a species that lets us check on the health of the environment. So because they spend only 2 days flying around trying to mate, and they spend a year to 3 years in the water, they can only have their life cycle in clean, fresh water. So seeing mayflies is an indicator of a really healthy environment. And as much as a problem as it was to have that bridge down in central Illinois 6 inches deep in mayflies, there are actually many fewer mayflies than there were in the past. They used to be 3 feet deep sometimes. Wow. And they would use snow plows to remove them from roadways in
okay.
parts of the Midwest.
So walk me through it. The mayflies, let's start with them emerging from the water. They get some oxygen between two layers of skin and float to the top.
Yeah, they're triggered by nice warm temperatures. So that big emergence down in Havana, Illinois, was in the month of June, which is a really common time for them to emerge. We have about 600 species of mayflies just in North America and over 3,000 worldwide. So they emerge in groups based on their species, but many areas have overlapping species. So they'll have multiple emergences in the same year of many different species of mayflies.
So they float to the top, they start to fly around, they go to Studio 54, and then the clock starts, they've got to lay eggs, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to prove to you how much they're just here to mate, they don't even have intestinal tracts or mouth parts. They're really just here for the party. But the biggest difference...
The intestinal tracts, I understand, but...
No mouth parts either. The biggest difference between mayflies and the club goers at Studio 54 is, while the dance floor at Studio 54, I've heard, was drug-fueled with club drugs like MDMA that, you know, fueled the attraction, mayflies, there's been no pheromone detected. So they their party is a totally sober one. There's no mating pheromone stimulating that frenzy. And what scientists have figured out is the thing that makes them gather together, since it's not the pheromones, it's actually the moonlight. So it's an entirely visual process, and that's one of the things that makes them really congregate around street lamps and on bridges and places like that.
Interesting, because I remember Cincinnati Reds game back in the 70s or 80s. It was taken over by, I think it was these mayflies. They were just flying all over the stadium. But listen, Rebecca, you tell people they've got 3 days left, you can get them to do just about anything, I think.
Yeah, mayflies are really the antithesis of the pandemic.
Okay.
We're all focusing on staying apart, and mayflies spend their whole life just trying to come together.
So we've got calls and faxes or texts and stuff I want to get to. But then to finish the cycle, so these mayflies – After leaving Studio 54, fly over the lake. They drop their eggs. The eggs then sink to the bottom. And you mentioned it earlier, but those eggs then are buried in the mud, and it's 1 to 3 years before they emerge again.
Yeah, depending on the species. And some of the little nymphs are known to burrow, and others just hang on to something in the water, and then they emerge and they repeat that life cycle.
Wow.
And they're incredibly important for the environment. They provide a lot of food for fish, bats, and other wildlife.
That's why I'm glad you're here. It's such a cool story. It's not something I'd taken time to think of, that it was right around us. Okay, Carl has called, 312-981-7200. Carl, have you ever been to Studio 54?
No, I haven't.
Okay. What can Rebecca do for you?
I had a question about, with the changing of the weather in the fall, mice out in a rural area invading my wife's car, particularly the engine compartment. There's evidence of mice and actually in the cabin of the vehicle. I mean, they're obviously a little tenacious getting in. Is there anything that you know of that's attracting them to the vehicle, even if it's sitting, you know, cold? It's not a warm place for them to go to. But what's the attraction of them coming into a car? And how do you
They're attracted to the warmth. They're attracted to the shelter. Do you keep her car in the garage, or is it kept outdoors?
It is in a garage, but the doors are often left open during the day, usually closed at night.
Okay. Is it possible to seal up that garage and get the doors to close tightly and maybe add on some door sweeps as well to keep mice out of the garage?
There is. I mean, we have a couple of dogs there, and we usually let them in and out through the overhead doors. So that may be affording the opportunity for the mice to come in. But, I mean, like I said, that...
Well, I mean, Carl, I've got mice in my garage. My garage is a sieve. But I've never had them climb into my car.
Yeah, no, there's evidence in the engine compartment. I've vacuumed out mouse droppings from the engine compartment and discovered some in the vehicle in the cabin itself.
Yeah, they will chew your wiring, so I'm glad you're taking it seriously.
I'm sorry?
Was that a road rage incident there? What happened, Carl?
No, I didn't hear you. I didn't hear what she was saying.
They will definitely chew the wiring in the car, so I'm glad you're taking it really seriously. You can go to the hardware store and purchase mouse traps and put them around your garage to help reduce those populations. But really, the only way to solve the problem is to seal up the garage mouse tight. If it were my garage, I would probably put down some mouse traps, and I would also put down on the interior of the garage some stations that contain a rodenticide bait. I don't want to use rodenticide outdoors because, you know, I don't want mice to run around and get picked off by, you know, a bird of prey or something. But if it comes to the safety of my vehicle and I feel that I need to use rodenticide temporarily as a knockdown agent to solve the problem while I seal up my garage, I would go ahead and do that. I don't like to use rodenticide in perpetuity. I always like to exercise some kind of structural control or seal mice out to avoid an over-reliance on rodenticide over time. I only want to use it temporarily, but it's pretty dangerous for the mice to chew the wiring in your car or remove insulation from a place that you really need it to be for your car to operate safely. So I think
absolutely
that you should definitely...
Listen, Carl, I appreciate the call. Thanks very much for that. All right, so when you say rodenticide, we're talking poison, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it is a poison, but it's also kind of like a medication where, you know, it contains a blood thinner. And just like you could bring grandma her blood thinner medication, you know, in the palm of your hand and it wouldn't harm you because it's a medication that she's going to take that is, you know, dosed out by her body weight, the rodenticide that's contained in a mouse bait station, it has to be a locking tamper-resistant bait station, so a pet or a child couldn't get into that. But once it's inside there, it doesn't have any VOCs. It doesn't off-gas. It's like having a medication in there that the mice eat, and then they would bleed internally and die. And
so
we don't like to... Yeah.
So many questions for you. We're going to have you on again, I think, next week. But one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, too, is I was saying earlier, I have a tree that has four squirrels living in a knothole. And the village came and looked at it. And it looks like the tree, it's going to fall down one day. It's right between two houses. So it's either, you know, take it down now or risk waiting for it to fall. The squirrels have been bothering me all year. You know, that's how we started with the screaming squirrels. But I'm concerned if I take this tree down now, that these squirrels have been squirreling away their nuts for months in this knot hole are going to end up dying this winter. Am I right, or is there anything I can do for them?
It's possible. Luckily, squirrels cache their nuts in multiple places, so they don't just rely on one cache. But if that was their major hiding place and the tree went away, you're right. They could end up this winter without having enough to eat.
So could I open up like my mudroom, the space under my mudroom, or some? Is there anything I can do, or they're just going to be on their own, right?
You know, just like we told Carl where we were worried about, you know, the mice chewing the wiring in his car, squirrels make these beautiful leafy nests up in the trees called drays, and they cut grasses and branches, and wires look a lot like that. So squirrels are, you know, very aggressive about chewing wiring as well. There was a police department in Chicagoland, and their cruisers were being devoured by squirrels. The squirrels were just eating all the wiring, and they figured out that their cars were even more susceptible to it because they were a model year of car that a soy-based coating was being used on the wires, and it was even more appealing to the squirrels. It had an appealing aroma to it.
Gotta
but
run.
They'll eat wires even without that.
Rebecca Fife, urban wildlife expert and director at Landmark Pest Management. All right, we've got to do this again more soon, or sooner, or quickly, maybe next week.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN.
We're Chicago's very own.